Say this with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that good news? That's what it's about. We talk about Resurrection Sunday. You know, today is the day that we remember, that we celebrate that Jesus was not dead in the grave, but risen from the grave. And, you know, there's a lot to the Easter program. We could talk about the crucifixion. We could talk about the arrest. We could talk about the Lord's Supper, communion. We could talk about being laid in a borrowed tomb and the resurrection. All of those things are part of it. And we could dissect it a whole bunch. I really just want to keep it simple this morning, because I think it's so important that if there's anyone that can hear my voice that does not already have Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you understand that you could do that right now. That right now, from your heart to God, you could pray and say, God, I'm a sinner. And I ask Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. I put my faith in him, and I give my life to you. And he'll answer your prayer by putting our faith in Christ by faith. The blood paid the price. All we give is our faith. And so I hope and pray that you will understand that. Jesus spent 30 years of his life mostly in the background. Unknown. Maybe even invisible. We talked Wednesday night about him as a 12-year-old and probably how much energy and enthusiasm and what an extraordinary young man and strong young man he was, full of personality. But beyond his village of Nazareth, he was probably not well known. Though he was born in Bethlehem and spent some time growing up, a little bit of time in Egypt. And he got back to Nazareth and we don't hear much about him, right? He went to Jerusalem one time in 30 years. It says he went every year, but we only have one account. One time when he was in the temple, they left and he says, I had to be about my father's business. Don't you know? I got to do my father's business. And his mother kept these things, pondered them in her heart. And we hear nothing. For 18 years. Where's Jesus? What happened? Well, just waiting for the right time. At 30 years old, he's old enough to be considered a teacher. He's old enough to be regarded as an authority, as a man. Even though, of course, at 12, he's considered a man in his tradition. But at 30, a teacher to serve in the temple. He's old enough. So what does he do at 30? He goes out to John the Baptist and is baptized. When he's baptized, the Holy Spirit of God comes down and they witness this. They see the Holy Spirit come upon him and he is anointed for the work before him. And the Father speaks from the clouds and says, this is my beloved Son. You see, those are the events that open up. And then, of course, we could go through all of those 3.5 years. What did he do? Turned the water into wine. Walked on water. Different water. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He healed the sick, blind, mute, deaf, leprosy, whatever. He healed them. He made them whole again. He fed thousands of people. Not to mention the fish that they caught at his direction. Calmed the storm. He preached salvation. He preached hope, love, and forgiveness, which is found in God. That was his message. Now, for which of these things did they hate him? Yet as we look at the scripture, we find the jealousy and hatred boiled up in those who opposed him. So that finally they bribed one of his staff members, one of the church members. And they got him to betray Jesus. They arrested him and they put on a kangaroo court, a mock trial. Did they have witnesses? Sure, they paid them too. Lies. Accusations. But in that, they accused him of being the Christ. And he said, I am. You got that right. That's who I am. And then they, of course, accused him of blasphemy because he made himself equal with God. But the hatred and the jealousy boiled up so much, they got the witnesses to say what they wanted to say. And by the way, if you notice, the judge was going to throw it out. He said there's nothing to crucify him for, nothing to punish him for. But the mob insisted their idea of justice be carried out. And they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so they crucified him. They whipped him. They beat him. They punched him. They pulled his beard. They spit on him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they put him on a cross on top of a hill with no clothes on, naked, stripped down so that all the world could see him in his humiliation. Unrecognizable. They beat him to the point he was unrecognizable. And he died. They put a spear in his side and water and blood came out. Just of heart failure. He died. Then what? They rushed and they found a tomb around the corner that wasn't even finished yet. And they said, here's a place we can put him in. So they wrapped him up real quickly and they put him in that tomb and they rolled the stone in front of it. And the government put a big sticker on it, no trespassing, put guards there and said, don't let anybody come in here. And they left. The church. These people who had followed Jesus for 3.5 years over the hills and valleys and across the country and across the sea. Wherever he went, they were there. Whatever he said, they did. They believed in him. They thought that he would bring a revolution. And he died. Now what? Hopelessness. Defeat. Wonder. Now what? What do we do? What would you do? Well, all they could do is mourn their dead friend. The idea of this movement of the church of Christianity, they would figure that out. But right now, in this Passover week, when he's been crucified, all they can do for the next 3 days is figure out how they're going to mourn their dead friend. Well, let's get some spices together. The women got some spices together and they prepared them and they said, well, on Sunday we'll go and we'll prepare the body. And after we prepare the body, what can we do? People could come, you know, pay their respects. Just mourn our dead friend. Boy, what a shock that morning, huh? Let's go to Mark chapter 16. I know you said he's not going to read it. I am going to read it. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away. It was very great. Entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were affrighted. He said to them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Oh, what a shock. What excitement. The events, I don't know if you've ever been through this, but first of all, they're mourning, and now there's this shocking news. It's hard to process. It had to be difficult for those sisters that morning to process what was being said. We compare the Gospels and we find the different accounts all, you know, harmonious, but they're different. They're from different points of view. And we see this, that the stone was rolled away so much that it shook the earth like an earthquake. And the guards that were standing there fell down like dead men. They fainted. They passed out. And then the ladies saw this angel. He said, he is not here, for he has risen as he said. Y'all ever get all the way through a sermon and miss part of what was said? You ever get all the way through a sermon and get everything that was said? That's difficult, isn't it? But all the 3.5 years that Jesus was teaching and preaching, there were things that they overlooked, they forgot, they missed. They didn't think it was important. And now that he's risen from the grave, that he's resurrected from the dead, the angel says, the messenger says to them, you missed this. He told y'all. He told y'all he is going to rise up. Tear down this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. He told them that. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. He told them. Remember when Jesus went and he was praying and he had that occasion with Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know what they were talking about? What were the disciples doing? They were sleeping. Told y'all not to sleep in church. They were asleep and they missed this important development in the story of what would be. So here were these disciples that were hopeless and defeated and had no direction. They didn't know what to do, what tomorrow would bring. By the way, they killed Jesus. What's going to keep them from coming after us next? And so they were gathered, kind of hunkered down, hiding for fear. And these women came running in and said, Jesus is risen from the grave. And what did the brothers of the church say? Y'all stop talking foolishness. Y'all have lost your mind. Look, I know you want to have hope and I know you want to have faith and all that, but what's done is done. We can't change it. Isn't that what brothers of the church are supposed to say? You see, they're so logical that they overlook, they miss this development, this wild, unbelievable event. That a man they saw crucified, beaten. In fact, as he hung there on the cross, they had to wonder, how is he not dead yet? How could a man live through all that he's gone through? And yet he did, until he gave up the ghost. They knew he was in the grave. They knew he was buried. They knew he was dead. He's been dead 3 days. But they ran to the tomb. They get there, and guess what? He's not there. In fact, Mary goes to a guy that she sees there in the garden, and she says, sir, where did you take him? If we were trespassing, just let us know. We'll move the body. I'll move him myself. Just show me where he is, because he's our Lord. You remember what that gardener said to her? One word. Mary. When he said her name, she knew he was not the gardener. He was the resurrected Savior. You see, Jesus rose up from the grave. The question was asked, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He's living. He's alive. By the way, let me say this. He was alive all 3 days. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? His body was dead. His body was wrapped up in a tomb. But Jesus, who we are, our personality, our soul, Jesus went to the belly of the earth, what we call Abraham's bosom, and he kept preaching. You imagine a preacher that keeps preaching after he's dead? He got into Abraham's bosom where the prisoners, the Bible says where the prisoners are held, those who were awaiting the resurrection so they could go to heaven instead of being in that holding place called Abraham's bosom. And Jesus went down there and preached to them. Wow. And then when he got done preaching to them, he said, okay, guys, I got to go. Got some work to do. He came back. He rose up from the grave and he saw Mary. And then, of course, look, for 40 days he hung around. He says, hey, go tell Peter and the other apostles I want to meet them tonight. He showed up. Thomas wasn't there. Did he not get the message or did he not believe it? I don't know the answer. But he wasn't there. Jesus shows up, eats dinner with them. They celebrate. They're all excited, kind of confused, but they're all excited. They see the holes in his hand. Look, this is the same guy. They see the hole in his side. It's the same guy. The holes in his feet. It's the same guy. The scars from the crown of thorns. It's him. It's not a fraud. It's really him. And by the way, they thought he was a ghost. They say, well, he's, you know, it looks like Jesus, but it's just the spirit of Jesus. No, he said, put your hands in the holes. It's real. And in fact, he says, sit down, let's eat. For 40 days, he ministered with them. He taught them. He encouraged them. He challenged them. He said, guys, look, I got to go, but we're going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And you have the Holy Ghost. You can do the work of God. You can reach the lost, change lives. But I've got to go. I've got to sit on the right hand of the Father, because that's where I'm going to be. When you pray, I'm going to take your prayers and present them. We have an advocate with the Father. That's what the Bible says. The advocate, Jesus Christ, the Savior. If you believe, if you've asked him to save your soul. I'm glad you came to church on Easter. But I want you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to pray and ask God's forgiveness. I want you to put your hope in him today. You see, because he is our hope. He is our Savior. And if you don't have hope in Christ, the resurrected Savior, you have no hope at all. Jesus is the way. Let's stand. In the simplicity of what was spoken of today, it's not a revelation. It's old news. This resurrection happened 2,000 years ago. Every year on this day, we're reminded of what our hope is. You see, my hope is not that I can give enough money to the church, or that I can serve enough or work enough or do enough good deeds, or even baptism. I've been baptized. But that water didn't save my soul. When I prayed from my heart to God and said, God, I know I'm not perfect. I know I've sinned. But I know Jesus died on that cross for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and cleanse my soul. And God, I give myself to you. That's when my name was written in the book of life. If you would pray from your heart to God right now, he'll hear your prayer. He'll answer your prayer. And you can secure your eternity by putting your faith in him. He is our hope. He is the resurrection and the life. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to. It's quite a statement, isn't it? That a man who is crucified in such a brutal fashion would walk out of a tomb 3 days later, still bearing the scars. It's an unbelievable, incredible story. And yet it's true. That's the fantastic way that God decided to draw us to him. But we must overcome the unbelievable. We must step across the obstacles and accept by faith Jesus Christ. And then knowing that, he'll change our lives. This is your opportunity. Amen. All right. Glad you're here this morning. Are you glad Jesus rose up from the grave?
Amen.
Listen, I know. I expect I'm going to die sometime. Don't you expect you're going to die sometime? But I know that when I die, I have God's assurance, God's promise, that the body is going to be dead, but the spirit is going to live on. And I have chosen to live with Him. If you don't choose, then you will accept the default. Don't accept the default. Put your faith in Jesus. Anything before we dismiss? Let's be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Glad you're here. So glad you're here. And hope you'll come back again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy to dismiss us, please.